Well, good day, everybody. Here we are, back from vacation and ready to go. Today, we are going to make sense of an incident in Genesis chapter 22. On the Panic Podcast, it's good to have you with us today. Well, so nice to have you here on this 10th day of November in the year of our Lord. No, it's the 11th day of November in the year of our Lord 2024. I lost a day somewhere. What happens when you go on vacation? You come back and it's like your days are all mixed up. Well, I hope you all had a good week. Hope you all missed me. Well, I missed you. Even if you didn't miss me, I missed you. But it's good to be back. I think the last time we were together was last Monday, wasn't it? I think that was the last. No, it wasn't. It was last, a week ago Friday? I don't know. It's been a long time. Let me ask you a question as we get our study together here. Let me ask you a question. How much do you love God? How much do you love God? We just started our Stewardship Emphasis Month. That's an annual thing that we do in our church every November. I think a lot of churches have some sort of a Stewardship Month, and it's usually in November. And I asked that question last week before we left on vacation. How much do you love God? How much do you think Abraham loved God? Let's read Genesis 22. See, how far do I want to go here? Genesis 22, let's read 14 verses. This is a familiar story to all of you, but it's a powerful story. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," Abraham replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough firewood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son." That's a powerful, powerful story. But what's going on in that story? You know, there are a few stories in the Old Testament that convey their message as pungently as the story of Abraham's trip to offer his son Isaac on an altar. I mean, it's a real page turner. It moves along quickly, and even though most of us know how it turns out, you just can't stop reading it. And also, from my perspective, I can't help but wonder many things. That's just how my mind works. Like, I wonder, like, conversations between Abraham and Isaac on the way You know, Isaac was not like a young boy. Okay, he was a young man by the time this happened. The Holy Spirit left those conversations out of the story for some reason, but I'd like to know what they talked about. Well, I want to look at stewardship today on the micro level. Now, I say micro because the story here deals really with Abraham's stewardship of a gift God gave him, namely his son Isaac. Now, we have a lot of listeners to this podcast, and I'm relatively positive that none of you listening today will ever be asked by God to offer up their firstborn on a sacrificial altar. But the point of the story is really our stewardship of the gifts, the many gifts God showers on us. So at the top of the program, I posed the question, how much do you love God? But there really is a question that I want you to keep in your mind besides that one. And it's this. Is there something in my life that God has given me that I want more than him? Is there something in my life God has given me that I want more than him? Or I guess another way to ask that question could be something like this. Would I be willing to let go of something God gave me if he wanted me to? Now, that something could be anything because honestly, what do we have that God hasn't given us? Well, let's do a quick survey of the story. Genesis 22:1 says, later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, Lord, he replied. So that's how the story begins. Now, we're told at the very beginning that what is about to happen is really only a test. Now, Abraham was never told this. We know this because we're told it's a test. But Abraham was never told this. And this test from the Lord is particularly poignant in view of the events of the previous chapters. Like, think about this. First, back in Genesis 20, Abraham prayed earnestly from the bottom of his heart for some other family to have children. Genesis 20, verse 17 and 18 says, Abraham prayed asking God to cure the king and queen and the other women of the household so that they could have children. For God had stricken all the women with barrenness to punish Abimelech for taking Abraham's wife. So Abraham and Sarah, barren as they were, desperate for children, their miracle child, they prayed for some other family to have children. Secondly, Abraham had just lost another son, not the son of the promise, but another son named Ishmael. Genesis 21:14 says, so Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food for the journey, strapped a canteen of water to Hagar's shoulders, and sent her away with their son. She walked out into the wilderness of Beersheba, wandering aimlessly. Now, I don't want to go into the whole story, but Abraham loved his son Ishmael. You'll recall Abraham and Sarah did not have children. So Sarah decided to take the matter into her own hands, didn't trust God, and had Abraham sleep with Hagar, her servant, to have a child. Well, Hagar has a child, and of course, there's now jealousy between the two women, jealousy in the household. But the fact is, Abraham loved Ishmael, the son he had through Hagar, but he had to let the kid go. He had to do that to keep peace with Sarah. Now, he had God's promise that the boy, Ishmael, would be all right, but still Abraham had to let his son go. And you know that had to be hard. So this makes that phrase, your only son, even more powerful. Now, Abraham was being asked to give up his only remaining son, the miracle son. But, you know, when you read Abraham's life story from the very beginning, you realize really that God had been testing Abraham the whole time. God was asking Abraham to give up all kinds of things. Like back at the beginning in chapter 12, Abraham was called by God to basically give up his past. He had to leave his hometown and leave everything behind. And he did so without hesitation. In the years that followed, Abraham was asked to give up his anxiety about God keeping his word. In chapter 15, he passed that test. Now it seemed as though God was asking this man to give up his future. And this, I firmly believe, is the most painful test of all. And yet he was ready to do it. Trusting God, Abraham would follow where God would lead. Because Abraham learned something from his lifetime of tests. The future is in God's hands. Maybe that's something that some of you need to learn too. Well, Abraham was asked not to murder his son, but to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. So this is definitely a test of faith. And this test of faith is a deep one. Did Abraham love Isaac more than he loved God? That's the obvious point of the test, isn't it? But really, there's another side to this test. You know that back in Abraham's day, child sacrifice was very, very common. The pagan cults and religions that surrounded Abraham all practiced it. So he would have been well aware of what child sacrifice was all about. So another aspect of this test involved Abraham's love for God. Did he love his God as much as the pagans loved theirs? Was Abraham willing to do for his God what they were willing to do for their gods? After all, they were all willing to sacrifice their children. Would Abraham be willing to do that? And that leads me into the lesson of the story. God wants all of us to love him. That's a given. He also wanted Abraham to love him. Now, Abraham and Sarah finally, after many, many years, had their miracle son, Isaac. I mean, he really was a miracle, and he was the son of the promise to them. It must have seemed like God's plan for their family was finally coming together. The covenant was coming to pass. But God, who knows our hearts and our deepest thoughts, felt that Abraham needed this test. He wanted the patriarch to be a man of unquestioned faith and to produce a family of like character. Genesis 22:3 says, "The next morning Abraham got up early, chopped wood for a fire upon the altar, saddled his donkey, and took him with his son Isaac and two young men who were his servants and started off to the place where God told him to go." Now, the Bible, you know, sometimes it describes things in a very matter-of-fact way. But I'm sure this decision must have been difficult for Abraham to make. But you'll notice he got up early and began the journey. He loved God and wanted to obey as quickly as possible. You know, prompt obedience is the best demonstration of love. You know, that famous story about a meeting that took place during the Civil War. Robert E. Lee was dispatched a note to Stonewall Jackson, and the note said this: "At your convenience, I would like to see you on a matter of not much importance." Late that night, in the pouring rain, no less, General Jackson knocked on the door of Robert E. Lee's quarters. "Come in, man, come in. What on earth brings you out on a night like this?" Jackson replied. Well, Lee answered him, "Well, your note, sir." He said, General Lee replied to that. He said, I said, at your convenience. Well, Jackson raised his hand and saluted and said, why, General, your slightest wish is my command, and this general delights in prompt obedience. I've always liked that story. I guess it's true. Maybe it's apocryphal, but I've always liked it. You need to obey God quickly. Don't waste time. You know, if you know that God is leading you to do something, go somewhere, talk to somebody, whatever the case may be, just do it. Don't keep putting it off. The best thing is, you know, do it as quickly as you can. Well, verse 6 of Genesis 22 says, Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering upon Isaac's shoulders. And that's something. It's not enough that he's going to sacrifice his child on the altar. He makes his kid carry the altar. While he himself, Abraham, carried the knife and the flint for striking a fire. So the two of them went on together. Before Abraham laid Isaac on the altar, he laid the altar upon Isaac. It's kind of ironic, I think. And how beautifully we see symbolized here the coming event in the New Testament when God the Father would put the cross upon his own son for the world's redemption. Well, even though this whole thing was a test, we're told that Abraham did, in fact, offer Isaac. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Turn to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 17. This fact is stated emphatically. Hebrews 11, 17. While God was testing him, Abraham still trusted in God and his promises. Note this, and he offered up his son Isaac and was ready to slay him on the altar of sacrifice. See, Abraham's will was completely dedicated to the fact that he was going to do the deed. And he had, in fact, performed the act in his heart. In his heart, he had already offered up Isaac. God will accept the will, even though the deed is not yet done. But he will never accept the deed if the will is not totally surrendered to him. Abraham offered Isaac, but he didn't lose him. You never lose what you give to God, ever. You never lose what you give to God. We used to say back in the 80s, the 1980s, you can't outgive God. That's true. You know, when we dedicate ourselves and all that we have to God, all our possessions and everything to God, you know, he gives back sometimes tenfold, sometimes 50-fold, sometimes 100-fold. Now, that doesn't mean that God will automatically make you wealthy just because you give generously to the church. God can give and does many blessings besides material ones. And yet God does have a very singular way of making our resources go further when we put him first and give to him first. Another strange fact about this matter of laying upon the altar is that God often gives back with extra dividends that which we give to him. God takes our offerings when they're dedicated to him and multiplies them far more than we ever could in our own selfish pursuits. Like a dollar given to the Lord will do more in his work than a dollar spent on yourself. When we, like Hannah, for example, lend our children to God, he makes them far greater than had we chosen to push them into the rat race for materialistic things and worldly acclaim. Abraham gave Isaac to God, and he received Isaac back and many descendants through him. Like the hymn says, one of my favorite hymns, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. You know, folks, the simple truth is this. Unless we are people of faith, we can never be effective stewards for God. Abraham was a man who literally lived by faith. He was not a perfect man. He made his share of mistakes, but he lived by faith. Every step in his life required that he trust God to the utmost. When Abraham left Ur, when he left Haran to go to Canaan, when he left Canaan to go to Egypt and then go back to Canaan, when he waited patiently for the son that God promised, and finally, when he was willing to offer that son upon the altar, all of these and many more events in Abraham's life all required faith. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives another interesting commentary on this great steward of God. Hebrews 11, verse 19. Abraham believed that if Isaac died, well, God would bring him back to life again. And that's just about what happened. For as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was doomed to die, but he came back alive. This verse, Hebrews 11, 19, agrees 100% with what we are told in Genesis 22, verse 5. Listen, Abraham told the young man, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will travel yonder and worship, and then come right back." He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew he and the lad would come right back. To give our possessions to God, i.e. our money, our finances, on a regular, ongoing basis requires faith. You know, sometimes we aren't sure there's going to be enough money left over for us at the end of the month if we give to the church. But a person of faith adjusts his or her own living standard when necessary in order that God's work may be carried on. This is our test. How much do we love God? John Oxenham wrote this little poem, "Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives. For this love's prerogative is to give and give and give." Love's prerogative is to give and give and give. Look, let's be honest. God doesn't need anything you have. Do you really think he needs a dollar from you? But what we give and how we give really is a measure of our love for him. The how much is irrelevant, because some people can afford to give a lot and some people not. Remember the story of the widow's mite. Abraham's great act of faith, his ultimate act of stewardship, I would say stands like a great pillar of light, showing all of us, all of God's people, in all succeeding generations, what real stewardship looks like. As a matter of fact, we're told in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, then God considered him righteous on account of his faith. Faith is linked to righteousness in God's eyes. But Abraham's faith was made manifest by his works, by what he did. James 2:21 and 22. "Don't you remember that even our father Abraham was declared good because of what he did when he was willing to obey God, even if it meant offering his son Isaac to die on the altar? You see, he was trusting God so much that he was willing to do whatever God told him to. His faith was made complete by what he did, by his actions, his good deeds. So, proper stewardship is a measure of both your love for God and your faith in God. Stewardship, in every form it takes, is a vital part of your Christian life. And Lord willing, we'll talk more about stewardship next Monday. All right? Well, it is 26 and a half minutes past the hour. I'm back at work after a week off, so I've got to get to it. Hey, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. Lord willing, we'll be back on Wednesday and Friday. Lord willing. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, don't forget you've got 3 minutes with Mike. Little Bible studies every single morning, 5 days a week. Little Bible studies to make sense of the Bible. So we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning for 3 minutes with Mike. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day today. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.